WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Here we are, hump day, middle of the week. And it's cold, and it's going to get colder and colder. We're talking pretty much deep freeze cold over the next couple of days. And in fact, for the next week plus, maybe 2 weeks, it's starting to feel a lot like winter, and it's still autumn. How you doing? Brian with you. This is Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. On this Wednesday, the third day of December, it's Special Kids Day. When I first started typing it up, I thought it was going to be Special K Day. You know, like the cereal? That's what I was thinking. Special K Day. Well, close. Special Kids Day. I think that's another way of getting around special education, but be that as it may. You probably were kicking around in some womb at this particular time. It was during the presidential election of 1800. The Electoral College votes for president and vice president ended up in a tie between Jefferson. There's only been one Jefferson, as far as presidents go, and Aaron Burr. So you know who won? Jefferson. Aaron Burr, probably scorned by the fact he didn't win, was all too willing to have a duel with Alexander Hamilton, and he pretty much made sure that Hamilton never got to be president. Of course, Burr didn't get to be president either. Instead of delivering a speech, now this is something every president should do. In this particular case, 1929, Herbert Hoover, President Hoover, instead of delivering an address, you know, the State of the Union is such and such, he wrote one up and delivered that to Congress. People didn't have to listen to a couple of boring hours, applaud every 30 seconds and stuff like that. He wrote up the speech, said, have at it, guys. 1989. President Bush, Daddy Bush, and Head Red Gorbachev, they met in Malta. They had some good conversations. And in the end, they declared the Cold War may be coming to an end. It didn't right away, but it wasn't long after that. The Brian's Beat quote of the day. Sin brought death, and death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. Sin brought death, and death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. That quote from Mary Baker Eddy. I believe she is the founder of the Christian Scientist. Interesting. Sin brought death. Death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. I got an idea. Let's all make a pledge not to sin. Let's give it a week. Let's give it a week. The week leading into Christmas. We can start earlier. No sin. And let's see if death disappears. I'm willing. How about you? All right. 508-996-0500. It is the middle of the week, and there is a lot going on. Never mind the weather. You know, the snow, the ski areas, they're loving what happened yesterday. Down here, we got a lot of rain. A police cruiser that hydroplaned in Seekonk, I believe. So just another, you know, I can tell you a couple of times, and I was going under the speed limit. There were a couple of times that I felt the vehicle was not cooperating on the road, if you know what I mean. So I get that little scare from hydroplaning, because once it starts, it's like being on ice. You don't know which way the vehicle is going to go and if you're ever going to be able to get control. Thankfully, it only lasted for a second or two, but I'll tell you what, you're holding on to that steering wheel and you're thinking, whew, man, at least that's what I was thinking. Before I get into the bulk of the show, I got to tell you, I was sitting in this studio, in this chair, and I was fixated to the television that we have. I was watching New England Cable News, trying to find out, is there anything that I might want to know and present to you? Must have been the 4:45, maybe a little bit later, maybe a little bit before. The story goes to Los Angeles. And I'm thinking, New England Cable News, lost it. Must be something big. Then I see a Waymo. If you're not familiar with Waymo, Waymo is a ride-sharing company, but there are no drivers. It's automated, driverless. And so, as the story goes, Los Angeles police were going after some guy, and they blocked off a part of a fairly busy street. And so the suspect, he kind of made a left-hand turn and parked the car, and he was ordered out of the car, and he gets down to the ground. A ride-sharing vehicle comes up and sees that there's a roadblock. Well, it's an autonomous car, and so it registers roadblock, and it goes to turn left. Well, the police suspect has been ordered to the ground, and he is lying on the ground as he was ordered by the police, has his hands behind his back. And this Waymo car is turning left, and it's going at a slow pace, and the suspect turns his head to his left, and he sees this Waymo vehicle turning toward him, lying on the ground. If you could have seen his eyeballs, it's like, hmm? And the police, they're off to the side because they see the car. And I don't know if they realized at the time it's an autonomous vehicle or what. But, you know, they were watching with astonishment. Now, the Waymo vehicle, oh, I'm going to say it had to be at least 3-4 yards that it cleared that guy that's lying on the ground. But I want you to imagine yourself. The cops have caught you for whatever reason. You're down on the ground obeying their orders. And there's this car coming at you. You don't know what, you know, you don't know it's a Waymo. You see a car coming at you. You're on the ground. You're thinking to yourself, well, do you get up to try to get away? If you get up, well, the police, you know, I don't know. But then you see the car kind of pull away, and then Los Angeles police respond, you know, the Waymo did not interfere with the work that they were doing. But they decided afterwards that they were going to close off that road to make sure no other cars turned in that direction. That guy, I would... My sniffer is telling me he probably soiled himself lying there on the ground, not knowing what the heck was going to go on. But here at the Commonwealth, there's a group, I don't know how well the process has gone for them, but they were trying to get a ballot question to basically stop autonomous vehicles here in the Commonwealth. I don't think they got up the signatures, and quite frankly, I'm kind of glad, because I've come to the conclusion the statistics tell me enough, and the statistics tell me that driverless vehicles get in fewer accidents, fewer injury-oriented accidents than vehicles with drivers. So I guess, you know, give me the opportunity. I think I'm willing to take a ride. I think I'm willing to have my grown children ride in one of these vehicles with me. I think I would think twice before I had my son, or I don't have a daughter, but a school-age child, you know, just take one of these Waymos to school. There is a story out in California where parents are letting their kids ride in these Waymos. You know, the kids aren't getting assaulted, you know. The other way of looking at it is you don't know what you're getting with a Lyft or an Uber driver. A human, at least the autonomous vehicle, you don't have to worry about any type of improper advancement. All right, 508-996-0500. As I said, a lot of things going on. The president of the United States, president, major announcement, and I'm going to tell you, to each their own. Anyway, what did the president announce? Something called Trump Accounts. It's got to have his name to it. Otherwise, it's nothing. Trump Accounts. What are Trump Accounts? The president has set aside X amount of dollars, about $1,000, per person born between January 1 this year to December 31, 2028. Isn't that basically his term in office? And if you are a child born between those dates, you are eligible for a one-time $1,000 deposit from the federal government. Yeah. I don't know if it's money that's coming from tariffs. I don't know where outside of the federal government, you know, what input to the federal government this money is coming from. But the output is coming from the federal government to these people. To these kids. Michael Dell of Dell Computer and his wife, they have donated $6.25 billion. And that money goes to people, kids, I should say, that are older than that range that I gave you before, between January 1, 2025 and December 31, 2028. And those kids would be eligible for $250, courtesy of the Dells. Now, nobody, none of the kids, can spend that money until they are 18 years of age. And what immediately went to my head was, oh, this is almost like a 401k or an IRA, because the child or other children, the parents, family members, they can make deposits into this account up to $5,000 tax-free per year. So the account can grow. But I have always had this thought process. I say it to Jose Matos when I see him on Saturday. Why would I want to go down that particular road? Why would I want the federal government? Why, first of all, why do I put my money into an account where the federal government tells me when I can spend the money or when I can't spend the money? For most of us, that age is 59 and a half. At least with these kids, it's 18. They can take the money out for a couple of things. College, first-time home buying. I didn't see too many other things on the list. Yes, you can convert it into a IRA or a 401k. Now, I know people are watching their 401ks and their IRAs. But it's the momentum of money that makes it grow. Sitting in an account, stagnant, doesn't really make it grow. Now you're going to say, wait a minute, my 401k, yes. That was through investments in and out. That was part of the movement of the account. You did make those moves. Some other person associated with the 401k or the IRA made those moves for you. In fact, you weren't allowed to touch that money. In fact, if you try to touch that money, you are penalized and you are taxed. So why would I want to give my money when I might want to use it for whatever reason? I might want to make a different type of investment, and why do I want to be penalized for taking that money out to then make the investment? Just does not make sense to me. And I sit by it because I'm sitting right now. It's funny, in the release that came out, backers of this plan say it's a way to bolster capitalism and help children from low-income households build wealth. So do you consider the federal government giving kids basically from 1 to 4 years of age $1,000? Do you consider that capitalism? Is that capitalism at work when the federal government is giving the money? That sounds more like wealth redistribution to me. It does not sound like capitalism. I could be wrong, but it's interesting to follow. The backers say it's a way to bolster capitalism and help children from low-income households build wealth at a time when openly socialist candidates are growing more popular. As a libertarian, I agree with that final statement. Openly socialist candidates are growing more popular. But I often ask my question, why is that? And I come back with the answer, because most people don't teach capitalism. They don't teach proper capitalism. There's plenty of crony capitalism going on, but they don't teach proper capitalism. And so now, because, you know, I'm just going to take the situation as we have right now. This could be President Biden. It could be Obama. It could be Bush Cheney. But what we have right now, what we've all seen over the past several months, including the election cycle of 2024, where billionaires jumped on the bandwagon of Donald Trump. And you have folks that watched Elon Musk, a billionaire, a person who was on that bandwagon, do doging I'm not here to criticize the dozing. But that's what they saw. And then they see people like Elon Musk getting fat contracts from the government, or still getting fat contracts from the government, instead of Elon Musk going out and whipping up the money through some of his investor buddies. That's what people see. That's what low-income folks see. And they say, that's capitalism? I say, is that capitalism? And so, when they hear the openly socialist candidates like a Mandani talking about free bus rides and whatnot, they're thinking, well, hey, it's about time we get our cut. I'm not saying it's right, but that's what they're thinking. You know that's what they're thinking. And so now I have to look at this, you know, Michael Dell and his wife. They are multi-billionaires. They're devoting $6.25 billion to Trump accounts. They should be called Dell accounts, but it's going into the Trump accounts. Does Michael Dell get a tax write-off, or does Dell Enterprises or whatever corporation that the Dells run? Don't you think there's going to be a nice tax break? Don't you think that in whatever department of government that they need new IBM-oriented, or I should say Microsoft-oriented type computers, that they're going to go out and buy a Dell? Who gives $6.25 billion without expecting something in return? I don't blame Michael Dell. I'm sure it's a great deal. I'm sure it's a great deal, because if it wasn't, he wouldn't be giving. Or, better way of saying it, there's other places he could put $6.25 billion. So, what do you think's going to happen here? First of all, this isn't going to everybody. Even here in the Commonwealth, the $1,000 or the $250 donation only goes to people that live in zip codes with a household income under $150,000. In Massachusetts, there are 80 some odd zip codes where people are living where that household income, that median income, is over $150, 82 out of 351. Wow. Well, no, I need to change that. There are 351 cities and towns. If you take a place like New Bedford, zip codes go from 02740 to 027, I think, 46. So there are lots of zip codes. By the way, all of New Bedford, if you are a kid between 1 or 0, I guess, and 10, you're going to qualify for either $1,000 or $250, either $1,000 from the federal government or $250 from the Dells. I won't call this universal basic income, but it's the government or people that are closely associated with government giving. What do you think of this one? Well, the government needed to do something. I don't know. On the other side of the government needing to do something, and I've always had comments about this, but might as well keep it going. Yesterday, today being Wednesday, so there was a hearing yesterday on Bacon Hill. And the meeting, one particular meeting, was about creating a commission to study reparations. Reparations for the descendants of slaves. And I think it's more than that. I think it's for African descendants. So if this were to happen, I would qualify. I have never been a supporter of reparations. And I kind of understand where Rep Holmes and Senator Miranda are coming from. But I think it's the wrong idea. Now, I hear people, you know, what are they going to spend the money on? It's up to them, all right? It then becomes their money, butt out, all right? But if you do give that money, if there should not be any other monies given. It also calls for an apology for slavery. And in case you didn't know, Massachusetts was the first republic, colony, whatever you want to call it, to start slavery back in the 1600s here on this land that we call the United States of America. It wasn't called that then. I think it was 1641. Massachusetts was active in the slave trade. Massachusetts was the first state to stop slavery. Before the Constitution. So, I like to sit down and have these short conversations with good old Frederick Douglass, who was over there on Abolition Row. And I get the feeling, you know, we only know each other so well, but I get the feeling that Douglass would believe that reparations are a necessary thing. Hey, he was a slave. His kids are descendants of slaves. He probably feels strongly about that. And I can see myself trying to have a conversation with him saying, nah, not a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing for me. I've learned how to make my way without depending as much as possible on government's help or begging you not being an African descendant, for you to take care of ills that were done to people. I can't even trace my family history to slaves. I suppose if I want to keep digging and digging and digging, or have my cousin dig, as he does, we'll find somebody past our great-grandfather. But nobody that he or I know were slaves. Now, does that mean they didn't put up with bigotry, hatred, racism? No, it doesn't. But from what I can trace, my family opened up businesses. My family went to college. You know, it may not be the perfect American dream, but I'll take it and I'll match it up against quite a few others if we were ever going to do such. Not to say mine is better than yours. I'm just saying I'm happy with my life and the United States of America. The Nation of Islam, their thoughts about reparations are a little bit different. And I can actually see, I don't ever see what they're asking for coming to fruition. But I think that they made the right move in saying, look, we don't want money. We want land so we can develop our own neighborhoods and do our own thing. government isn't giving that. All right, 508-996-0500. Thank you and good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Hey.
Brian, no, I think you got a great outlook and a good attitude. You're intelligent. But, you know, you're not the average black person, you know what I mean?
What do you mean I'm not the average black person?
Your attitude is good and you like to get educated and, you know what I mean? You like to do, like, you don't want to be hanging in the hood and doing bad things. You know what I mean?
So why isn't that average?
What do you mean, average?
Well, you said I'm not the average black person. Most black people that I know don't hang in the neighborhood.
I know, but wait a minute. How many do you know that do what you do or want to get further their education and want to get off the system and want to, if you could take a survey and get a percentage of that in the city, for instance.
Well, there's two different things. You said the city and you asked people that I know. So I can't speak for the city, but I can speak for the people that I know. And overwhelming majority, we're talking about 85%.
Well, because you probably hang around with people that are like you.
Well, don't you hang around with people that are like you?
Well, I try to.
There you go.
Well, I like everybody, really. I'm just saying, maybe I'm not saying it right, but what I'm saying is that I think you're kind of like an exception in a way.
I don't think I'm an exception. I think people want to believe that because they don't really hang around with black folks. And so what they see on TV and what they might see if they drive to a particular neighborhood, all of a sudden they paint that picture. That is not the true picture.
Yeah, but I don't think you hung around with black people because I did.
I did growing up
after, like, when I started to be a teenager. So I really did hang with, I was always in the South End. I was always down that neck of the woods. So I did hang, you know what I mean?
I guess. I wasn't down in the South End, so I can't clarify. What I think you're saying is a lot of black people lived in the South End of New Bedford?
Sort of, kind of.
Okay.
You're not really from here, that's why, right?
No, but I don't need to be here to hang around with black people.
I know. It's a different thing what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to be nice
and say, yeah, you're really off base here.
I'm off base?
You are.
Why are you saying that?
Because, as I said earlier, there is a stereotype. And what you are talking about right now is that stereotype. How many people, you know, and then you tried tying in the folks in New Bedford. Well, A, I didn't grow up in New Bedford. B, even though I went to a high school that was a majority white, I knew where to go to find black people. My mom knew where to go to find black people. And we went and hung around with people that were college educated, that really wanted to do for self. I'm not trying to say that some folks don't want more government benefits than I politically espouse. But what I'm trying to tell you is your makeup of black people is more fabrication.
I'm not. No, because what I'm saying is just exactly what you said, what you did with your mom. That's what I'm talking about. Like, most people, I don't know how to say it because you keep saying I'm stereotypical typing. Like, in other words, most people didn't have that attitude when I was growing up here.
Maybe. And what I am saying is that might be true. But I'm trying to say is that isn't the preponderance of black people.
Oh, all right. Get off that subject right now. I want to talk about this Trump thing.
Which one?
Maybe I can talk to you when I see you in person, because I don't want to be on the radio saying things that are stereotypical.
All right, stereotypical. Really, go ahead and tell me what you want to talk about.
I'm not stereotypical. So anyway, this Trump thing. Now, where's the money going to come from?
Which one? Talking about the Trump accounts?
Yeah, is it going to come from the government's going to put that money, deposit that money in the accounts, and
yes.
then yes,
coming from the Treasury.
Yeah, I'm against that. And also, this the Dell is going to give 250 to people that are what, 10 and under?
10 and under, yes. 10 and under, I guess, four.
They have to fill out a an IRS form, I think, a tax form, don't they, to get it?
There's going to be an IRS form. I think they're calling this one 4547. So that tells me the IRS is going to be busy for a while.
What do you make of it?
I think I don't think it's bolstering capitalism. I think that if you are going to give out money, then you give it to, and you want to call it capitalism, or you want to be fair about it, you give it to the rich people as well as the poor people. I don't think you should be giving it out, number one. I think that money should go back to the taxpayers.
I know, really. That's another thing. And another thing, I was listening to it, but I didn't catch the whole thing, but it sounded like anybody can in their family can say, or anybody for that fact can say, here's $5,000, deposit in the account.
Yes.
So, I mean, that people could be hiding money in that account, family members, cousins.
I suppose.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I sure. They could. But here's the thing, that you if you're hiding money in that account, you're not getting it for a long time.
What, how does that work?
So in other words, if you are born January 1st of this year, you've got another 17 years to go before you can get any of that money that goes in to that account.
Oh, all right. I getcha.
Yeah. And that money's got to be used for college or first-time home buyer.
It's like a Roth IRA, because the Roth IRA, if you take, it's going to be used for college, too. You can deposit money into it. But if you take it out, you get penalized.
Correct. Penalized and taxed. And here's the other thing. The government money, I don't see anything here, but I'm taking a stab at it. If the government is giving you free money, you're going to be taxed on that $1,000 and its growth when it's time to take that money out.
Even if it's used for a first home buyer or for college?
Sure.
It's not supposed to be. Like a Roth IRA, if you're using it for college, if you try to use that money for anything else, then it gets taxed. If you use it for college, it doesn't get taxed.
Who do you know uses a Roth IRA for college?
Excuse me?
Who do you know that uses a Roth IRA for college?
I don't know, but anybody could start one for their child and then, you know, use it later on.
But I guess what I'm getting at, you can't, a Roth IRA, you can't touch that money until 59 and a half years old. So who would use it for college? There's a 528 for college.
Oh, there's something else, too, that Jose Matos talks about. Chris said he was going to get Jose on to talk about it, to explain it better. So that might be good, right?
I guess. I was going to do the same thing on Saturday.
Are you going to have him on?
I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm going to, you know, here's a good thing. When Jose is done, I'm begin my Saturday show. So I've got him here. So
I know, but he's very smart. He's very good.
I think he's great.
Yeah, he keeps up on everything, too.
Yeah, I'll see if he's available.
Okay, my friend.
Right.
I'm sorry if I offended anybody. I said something that was
serious. You know what? What you stated, many other people feel the same way, because it's an ignorance thing. It's not you being a butt face. That's a nice way of saying it, huh? It's just that you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, Maybe when I see you in person, I can talk to you. Okay.
All right.
Then you'll understand me better.
Oh, thank yeah. You. Well, I'll make sure I have my paddle.
Have a good night.
You too. 508-996-0500 to get onto the program. Yeah, Trump accounts. There were other things. There's this reparation thing is out there. Look, I've stated it. And by the way, I'm not trying to say I know every black person. I don't. I can't say the majority of black people that I know are probably for some form of reparation. How it would look, I don't think they even know. But they hear the word reparation and they think, especially if they know their family history, they think that they are deserving of a piece of the action that other people have been able to live off of for generations. 508-996-0500. Brian, this is Brian's Beat.
There are no solutions. There are only trade-offs. And whatever you do to deal with one of man's flaws, it creates another problem. But that you try to get the best trade-off you can get, and that's all you can hope for.
This is WBSM.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. 800-221-6085. That's 800-221-6085.
Back to Brian's Beat.
About 15% of men have interacted with some form of AI companion.
Interacted with an AI companion. Welcome back to Brian's Beat. Let's hear from you. Thank you for your patience. Hello.
How you doing?
I am. How are you?
Good, good. I just want to comment on that young lady you just spoke to. I grew up in one of the roughest areas in the United States in the 60s, in Harlem, USA, in New York City. And there were a lot of great African-Americans in Harlem at that time, and it still is. A lot of guys that I went to school, I went to Catholic school, and a lot of them became great people. And everybody doesn't hang out on a street corner, and sometimes as African-Americans or Latinos, you know, everybody gets stereotyped because what they see on TV.
You mean like the news shots?
Yeah.
Mm. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, because I was in the military, and I was overseas, and what people see on TV, they actually believe that's how African-Americans are in America. You know, everybody's not Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch standing on the screen court. Not every black guy's a pimp, you know?
And yeah, I do know, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I grew up in Harlem. I ended up moving to New Jersey. And all my friends that I grew up with, a lot of those guys, Spanish and African-Americans, did a lot of great things. I served my country, went to college. My brother did 20 years in the Navy. Worked for the government for another 22 years. A lot of my friends are well-educated, and we grew up in the toughest place you could possibly grow up in the 60s. You know what I mean?
Well, I might want to debate that Harlem is the toughest place. It's certainly one of the more artsy places. Harlem is a major city within a city, and
right.
and there are people right. that live in Harlem that live in great brownstones. You know, it's the stuff that you don't see about Harlem that people just don't know about.
Right. The reason why, I'll be honest with you. The reason why I say tough to me as a kid, I'm Cape Verde and I'm Irish. So in Harlem, where I lived at, you know, I look like a white kid. You know what I mean?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I got you, man. Only I hear you loud and clear.
When I left Harlem and moved to New Jersey, I missed it. You know what I mean? Because it had a lot of culture,
yeah.
And I missed it.
Yeah,
I really
hear
did.
You loud and clear. I was born in Chicago, so I know what you mean. Hey, man, thank you for your call and the clarification. I really do appreciate it. Time to pack up the bags.
And about 15% of men have interacted with some form of AI companion.
WBSM. Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Got some data, and about 15% of men have interacted with some form of AI companion.
Well, it's the end of the show, but I better get back to the hood and hang out with the people that I should be hanging out with, and so that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pack up my bags and get on out. But before I do that, I do want you to know, 32 degrees in Westport, 33 in Mattapoisett, 33 in New Bedford. I'm Brian. We'll do it again tomorrow at 6. Tim starts at